Chapter 20, Leo June. The assistant stepped in front of them.
You can't go in, he protested.
Stop me. Jack pushed him aside and swung the heavy doors open. The hinges groaned under the weight, the sound echoing through Secretary Leo's office. Inside, the room was a scene of subdued bureaucracy. Five individuals were gathered around a low table, surrounded by a spread of blueprints, site photographs, and other documents. Leo was engaged in a discussion with a sixth man at his desk. The room fell into a sudden silence, heads turning as if on swivels towards the source of the interruption standing in the doorway. The six guests looked up in surprise, but Leo's reaction was of a different caliber. In quick succession, his face first registered shock, then bewilderment, and finally a quick return to composure.
Secretary, I tried to stop them.
The assistant came rushing in behind Jack and Lei.
It's okay. Officer Jung and Mr. Decker are always welcome in my office. Gentlemen, please give me a moment with my new guests,
Leo said as he directed the other men out of the room. He stood up, adjusting his suit with a practiced pull at the cuffs, and pointed them to the door, his eyes fixed on Jack and Lei. Lei stepped into the office first, his movements slow and unsteady. His left arm was in a sling with stark white bandages peeking under a dark jacket sleeve. The bullet in Kuarla had been a close call. While it missed his vital organs, it had left him significantly weakened from blood loss. Fortunately, being already in the hospital had played to his advantage, as numerous nurses and doctors had been quick to respond to the shooting. They had rushed him into emergency surgery, where their prompt and expert care had stabilized his condition. After a successful surgery, they had strongly advised him to remain under hospital observation, but Lei, driven by a deep-seated need to see this through, had other plans. The moment he could stand without succumbing to dizziness, he had made his decision. Ignoring medical advice, he and Jack had caught the earliest flight out of Kuarla to Beijing. Jack walked behind Lei into Liu's office, his eyes scanning the room's corners. As the last of the construction team filed out, the room took on the charged atmosphere of a standoff. Secretary Liu still stood upright behind his desk, his posture stiff, his hands on the desk surface.
Officer Jung, he greeted,
his voice smooth, betraying none of the tension that underlaid the situation.
I see you are hurt. Have there been complications?
He looked at Lei's bandaged arm. Lei carefully lowered himself into the chair in front of Leo's desk, his movements deliberate to avoid jarring his wounded shoulder. Jack remained standing.
This,
Lei looked down at his injured arm, has been Agent Jung's parting present to me. The room was quiet for a moment, the only sound the soft ticking of the clock on the desk. Leo chose to sit down before he spoke.
Where is Agent Jung?
He asked, his tone casual.
I killed him, Jack stated bluntly.
No surprise, no shock was noticeable in Leo's expression. He looked Jack sternly in the eyes and nodded, apparently deep in thought.
So you did,
he said finally, calm, almost contemplative.
May I ask why?
Lei glanced at Jack.
You know exactly why, Jack retorted and slammed a folder on the polished surface of Leo's desk, breaking the calm facade of the room.
Leo did not reach out for the folder.
What is this?
He inquired instead. This, Lei started, is your end, Secretary. Inside here are documents confirming your direct involvement in the execution of Liang Wei, how you acquired his heart, and how you sold off the rest of his organs to the highest bidders. With a push, he slid the folder across the desk until it stopped directly in front of Leo. Leo looked down at the folder, his eyes narrowing marginally. He chuckled softly, a low sound that did not reach his eyes.
Is that so? Well then, I suppose I should review these documents,
he remarked with feigned nonchalance. He opened the folder and read through the papers, his brow furrowed slightly.
Where did you get this from?
He asked. Kuarla's hospital archives, Tong Shesha discovered them, Lei replied.
Where is she?
Gone.
You let her escape again? Leo asked.
Zhang killed her.
Leo's frustration was palpable.
Damn it, Zhang and his impulsive actions, he muttered, showing the first real sign of agitation.
Lei and Jack exchanged perplexed looks, both surprised at Leo's stronger reaction to Tong Shishi's fate than to the damning evidence they believed they had on him. Evidence that, so far, had been met with mere indifference. Frustrated by Leo's reaction, Jack slammed his fist on the desk.
Forget about Tong Shishi. You orchestrated Liang Wei's execution and profited from his organs. You directed Zhang to kill Zhao Juan, Dr. Bo, and us. Your time is up, Secretary.
Leo rose from his chair, his movement deliberate as he strolled toward the expansive window. Jack watched him intently, every muscle coiled and ready to respond.
You claim I communicated with Zhang and ordered him to kill you. But where is your proof of such orders?
His reflection in the glass showed no hint of concern.
If Zhang indeed killed Dr. Bo and Zhao Juan, that must have been on his own initiative. Blinded, perhaps, by greed for Liang Wei's fortune, he wanted to get his hands on himself. It seems he deceived me as much as he did you. It's a real pity that we cannot get the truth out of him anymore now that he is dead, isn't it?
Turning slightly to face them over his shoulder, Leo's expression was unreadable.
And as for your other accusations, he continued, some scribbles on three-year-old paper by low-level hospital workers? That proves nothing.
He turned fully now, his eyes locking with theirs.
And even if I, hypothetically speaking, did order the execution of Liang Wei, you should remember who he was.
Leo began to pace slowly, hands clasped behind his back, lecturing them as if they were naive students in a political science class.
He was a traitor to our nation. His vocal opposition to our implementation of a central bank digital currency could not go unanswered. Consider the benefits this system brought us, he said, his voice taking on a didactic quality. Enhanced monetary policy effectiveness, reduced corruption and crime, and above all, unprecedented control over all financial activities of our people, ensuring compliance and loyalty. All necessary measures for our national security. If Liang Wei threatened this, his fate was justified.
Jack and Lei exchanged a glance. Leo's demeanor was composed, his argumentation slick with the polish of a seasoned politician, but beneath the smooth exterior, they sensed desperation. He was playing every card he had to justify his actions under the guise of state security. Leo's voice turned dismissive, almost mocking, as he faced Jack and Lei squarely.
Your other accusations, this nonsense about me selling organs, are all hearsay. Do you think those papers prove anything? You have nothing concrete in your hands.
Lei's expression remained impassive, but there was a flicker of triumph in his eyes as he retorted, You overlooked one critical detail, Secretary Leo. He paused, ensuring he had Leo's undivided attention, emphasizing each of his following words. Part of the Bitcoin seed phrase to access Liang Wei's billion-dollar fortune has been encoded into the DNA of his organs transplanted to all recipients. That includes the heart you took from him. And it will be easy to prove with scientific certainty, Lei continued, his voice steady and confident, that the heart pumping in your chest isn't yours.
Nobody will dare touch me, not when it's based on the words of a simple officer like you,
Leo retorted with cold confidence. The tension in the office was abruptly disturbed by a commotion outside. Jack and Lei turned towards the door as it burst open, revealing Chief Wong flanked by two stern-faced police officers. On the floor, held down by a third officer, was Leo's assistant, struggling and protesting weakly. The chief strode into the room, looking directly at Leo, who appeared momentarily caught off guard.
"That's where you are wrong, Secretary," Chief Wong declared, his voice resolute. "Remember Bo Xilai? His rank did not save him from prosecution, and neither will yours."
Leo's composure slipped visibly, his previous confidence deflating as the reality of his situation sank in. Wong continued, his tone unwavering as he addressed the secretary directly.
"You feigned shock and ignorance when discussing this case with myself, Officer Jung, and Mr. Decker. You sidelined me from the case, even though you knew all along about the connection between the victims and the origin of the organs from Liang Wei. This obstruction of justice alone gives me enough reasons to arrest and investigate you right here. After you removed me from the case, I documented our interaction and submitted a formal complaint to my superior. That record now stands as an irrefutable and time-stamped evidence of your misconduct aimed to derail this investigation."
He paused, allowing the weight of his words to settle over Leo.
"I hereby place you under arrest for abusing your power and ordering the execution of Liang Wei and the murders of Dr. Bo and Zhao Juan, as well as for involvement in organ trafficking and obstruction of justice."
Chief Wong's voice boomed in the enclosed space.
"We will examine your chest, and if necessary, we will prove that the heart beating within you belonged to Liang Wei."
The room was silent for a moment, save for the muffled noises of Leo's assistant being restrained outside. During Chief Wong's speech, Leo had edged discreetly toward the side door in his office. His movements had been gradual, nearly imperceptible amid the tension that gripped the room. By the time Wong concluded his charges, Leo had positioned himself just inches from the door, and with a sudden burst of energy fueled by desperation, he shoved the door open and slipped through before anyone could react. The room fell into a brief, stunned silence as they processed the unexpected agility of the old man. Wong pointed toward the door, his frustration evident.
"Kick it open," he ordered.
One of the officers rushed to the door and repeatedly kicked at the door's weak point, sending it flying open with a resounding crash. They ran into the room only to find themselves facing a closing elevator door at its other end. Chief Wong let out a frustrated curse.
"Go after him! You, take the stairs! You, ask the assistant where this elevator leads to," he commanded the two officers. "We'll set up surveillance for his profile and freeze his assets. He cannot get away," he commanded, pulling out his phone to coordinate the next steps.
"I don't think we have to worry too much about that," Lei commented with a confident smile. Leo made his way to the basement garage, his heart pounding with panic and desperation. His driver was there, seated in his black limousine.
"Drive,"
Leo commanded as he threw himself into the back seat. The driver, however, didn't move. Instead, he sat frozen, his eyes locked onto the small screen of his phone. Frustration boiling into fury, Leo leaned forward.
"Didn't you hear me? Drive now!"
he shouted. His attempt to take the phone away from the driver was stopped short. He froze as he heard Lei's voice coming from the phone. "I don't think we have to worry too much about that." With wide eyes, he looked at the live stream, which showed the video transmitted directly from his chambers. Leo's breath caught in his throat as he realized the full extent of his exposure. His secrets, crimes, and even the shocking revelation that his heart contained the key to a vast fortune had been captured and streamed on Douyu. He suddenly felt the weight of millions of eyes on him, each viewer aware of a billionaire's bounty in his chest. Just then, the driver started the car. He glanced at Leo through the rearview mirror. As their eyes met, Leo noticed a strange, calculating distance in the driver's eyes.